Okay, Acts 7:2. This was Stephen's reply. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. Our glorious God appeared to our ancestor Abraham in Mesopotamia or Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran. Before he settled in Haran. All right, so we have, I hope everyone's well. It's a bit of a long one today, so let's see how we go. Okay, so he began to speak to the men. Brothers and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to the father of us, Abraham, being in Mesopotamia, before rather dwelling his before he took up his dwelling in Haran. So Stephen's saying that he says, first listen to me so it can birth faith. Okay, listen to me means if you listen to me, it's going to birth faith within you to hear God's voice. That's exactly what that means. Okay, that's why it says, brothers and fathers, listen to me. Okay, so he's addressing the brothers and fathers here. And he says that the God of glory appeared to the father of us, who is Abraham, in the river. Okay, Mesopotamia means to be in the river. So he's saying that the God of glory first appeared to our father in the faith. Now listen means to birth faith in, okay? So listen means to birth faith in. And he's saying the father of faith, Abraham, God appeared to him in Mesopotamia, which means he was actually in the river, okay? In the river is what that word means. And then he was in the river before he went and dwelt and settled in Haran. Haran is the crossroads. Holy. Haran is the crossroads. And it's a junction of trading routes. Okay, trading routes. Dwelt means to settle down, it means to make it your fixed permanent dwelling place. And the word itself is in Revelation 13:12. And the word is a pregnant construction. So those words together in the Greek, how they translated it, says that it's a pregnant construction, but God is the word, and so that's what it is, okay? In Acts 22:12, it says that demons are dwelling, taking possession of the bodies of men. Okay? And he's saying that the here before Abraham went off and settled down in the cross at Haran, which is the crossroads. It's the junction of the trade where he's trading. He was firstly in the river before he took up residence in Haran, before he started trading for souls. Okay, and he was, and then we can see that it was pregnant with the river. So that trading route is to first. Be in the river, pregnant with the river, and then trading, then going and settling down in a different location, Haran, which is the crossroads. Okay, so one side is crossing over to the other side. Okay, so Acts 7:3 says, "Leave your country and your people," God said, "and go to the land I'll show you." Okay, go to the land I'll show you. Go out from that country and from the kindred of you and come into the land which I will show to you. So the word to go out means to depart from your descendants. Depart from your descendants. Country means inhabitants of a region. Okay, in you, the country, the inhabitants that are in you. And for out of you, or shall come forth out of you, a ruler, a governor, a leader. Okay, that's what it's saying. So he's saying, leave, depart from your descendants to go out and leave your country, which is to go out from the descendants of your country, those that are inhabiting you, and your people, which is kindred, and that means like kinship, relatives, family, kinfolk. Okay, so leave any kindred spirit, inhabitant of the region that's inhabiting you, and when you do that, out will come forth out of you, says I will show you, or go to the land, come forth out of you will be a ruler, a governor, and a leader. You'll come into the land which I show you. And that means that come into the land that I teach, come into the land that I make known, that I expose to the eyes. Teach one what he ought to do. Okay, that's what it's saying. So it's come into the land that I will show you, that I teach you, that I make known to you, that I expose to your eyes, and then, and that I teach, and I teach each one what he ought to do. Each one what he ought to do. So the ruler and the governor leader that comes forth out once the descendants that have inhabited your country have departed from you, the governor comes forth and will teach you, make known, expose to your eyes the land that he has for you and teach you what you ought to do. Acts 7:4 says this. Then having gone out from the land, the Chaldeans, he dwelt in Haran, and from thereafter the father of him died, and he removed him into the land. That's a bit backwards. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and he settled in Haran. And after his death, God sent him to this land which you are now living. God sent him to this land which you are now living. It says there that until his father, well, the actual translation is until his father's death. So leave the land of the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans is Kesed, and it actually comes from the word one said or one seed. And it settled in Haran. So, and then he says, until your father's death, which is until your father's died, and it means to be dying off or to be slain. Okay, and then into the land which he is now living. So remove from the land and exile, so transfer a settler is what it's saying. So he left the land of the Chaldeans. And then once all the fathers had died, had been slain, all the fathers had been slain, God sent him to the land, or he removed him into the land, it says, removed him into the land, which means he exiled him or transferred a settler. He removed him from the land, he exiled, and he transferred a settler. So he took him out of one place, put him in another. Okay, so once he left the land of that one seed of that race, that family, he settled in Haran, and then once all the fathers were dead, then God sent him, exiled him, transferred him to a new land in which you're now living, he says, okay? 7:5, Acts 7:5 says, he gave him no inheritance, not even enough ground to set his foot on. But God promised him that he would possess the land. And through that time, Abraham had no child. So an inheritance is a share or a participation. It's a possession, and it's viewed in one sense as present or a gift of God. So it's an inheritance, and it's the portion God assigns as an heir or the possession. Okay, and he says, so he didn't even get enough ground, and that means length. So it's a foot, and the word is bema, and it's from the word basis, which is to mean to step and to walk. And the bema comes from footstool, which is placing your foot upon the vanquished. And you see that in Joshua 18:24, so that he's saying that he didn't even give me a footstool, placing foot upon the vanquished, where the vanquished placed. It's a platform someone walks up to receive judgment, administration of judgment, and given from a tribunal chair where rewards and punishments are dealt out or melted out. It's the judgment seat. So he's saying he didn't even get that at that time. And the promise is to be professed. So the promise, but God promised him that he would possess the land. Promise means to profess it or report and announce. The announce is engaged. So announce that it, engaged or to be engaged, and one is about to do or to furnish something. So announce that one is about to do or furnish something to become engaged with it. That's a promise, yeah. And then possession is to occupy, so occupancy, and it's possession of the land, and it's holding fast and holding back anyone that's hindering this. Okay. And then the word descendants is the seed sown. So he says that he promises, that the promise is you would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham didn't have children. And descendants means seed that's been sown. And it means to collectively and many and posterity and offspring and race. And even though at that time he didn't have a child, which is a technon, a child living in full dependence of their heavenly father in glad submission. So gladly submitted and living in dependence like a little child, a technon, to the heavenly father. And when a technon does this, it prompts God to transform them into his likeness. So the key there is that it's that even though Adam didn't have children, the promise is the children of faith of Abraham, when they do have technons, when they do have children who are living in full dependence of their heavenly father in glad submission, this prompts God to transform them into his likeness. Childlike, not childish. It's an attitude of the heart that willingly and gladly submits to the Father's plan. It's children who are begotten by virtue of the divine promise. In a universal sense, it's a child, but not of any gender or sex. So any child conceived of the divine promise, okay? Which is through faith, a technon dependent in glad submission to God, okay? That prompts God to transform them into his likeness, true offspring. Okay, Acts 7:6 says God spoke to him in this way. For 400 years, your descendants will be strangers in a country, not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated. Your promised descendants are the seed. And the word spoke is, this is what is said, and this is what is seen by the apostles. And it's to make the manifestation known by speaking. So God spoke to him in this way, so to make the manifestation known by speaking. This is how you make the manifestation known by speaking and announce. It says by declaration and prophetic announcement of God. And it's what is said and what is seen in the apostles. Okay? So God spoke to make the manifestation known by speaking. Announcement of God, declaration and the prophetic announcement of God. And we see it in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, and it says God, Holy Spirit and Christ are the declaration and the prophetic announcement of God. So we see that there. So that's in Acts 7:6. So God spoke to him this way. 400 years, your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated. Okay, God spoke to him in this way, speaking out like that is a prophetic announcement of God, and that is done, that prophetic announcement of God is declaring God, Holy Spirit, and Christ as the prophetic announcement of God. Amen. All right, so there'll be strangers, which is sojourners, parokos, which means they'll be foreigners and they'll be alien. And they'll have limited rights, which is identification, okay? And for a while there, it says that they won't have any identification. So because of that lack of identification, they have limited rights in this country. And they're still foreigners, so they feel alienated. They're non-citizens with limited rights. They're living close as a temporary dweller. They're without citizenship in God's kingdom. Okay, so a foreigner is someone born in or coming from a country other than their own. That's a foreigner. It's a strange sense. They have to learn everything, the culture, the language, the ways, the laws. That's what a foreigner has to learn. He's saying that these, your descendants, Abraham, are going to be strangers in a country they've never been to before. Okay, they're coming into a new country. And we understand I'm gone back and I don't want to have to, because this is a very long message, but I want you just to keep in mind that we talked about the Chaldeans and leaving and departing from those fathers who have inhabited your country, your region, your body, with their words. Because now the word's coming in and taking you out, so you become the word in God's kingdom, so all words and all spirits from fathers and forefathers are, you depart from those. They're to depart as a rule, and then the ruler comes forward now in you, and he will teach you and make known and expose to your eyes, okay, as you enter the kingdom. And then he says that, you know, you will feel like a foreigner. Yeah, there's no identification. And then that's all taught, right? Sometimes it takes a while to get identification and to get all that stuff under wrap, okay? Okay, so they feel strange, which is belonging to another person, not one's own. They're enslaved, which means to bring under subjection. They belong to another. They feel like there's a bondman or a bondage. They've been mistreated. He says that they'll be mistreated, treated badly, made angry, bitter, inflict misery, oppressed, vex, harm, injure, malice, bad, evil, morally rotten character. And the word 400 means total inclusive. It signifies universality. And 400 or a year or how long that takes, it could be 4 total years before they come out of that bondage and that enslavement and that mistreatment. All right. Now, Acts 7:7 says, but I will punish the nation that serves as slaves. They serve as slaves. God said that, and afterwards they'll come out of that country and they'll worship me in this place. The word nation there is ethnos. It actually is talking about unbelievers. And we can be talking about unbelievers in the spirit realm as well here. A nation is forming a custom, culture, joined by practicing similar customs or a common culture. Those who are living together or associated with one another in any way, which is family. And they will be in bondage. So they serve as a slave, or all personal ownership and rights are assigned to the owner to willingly give over self-governing, to do service and nations in subjection to other nations. Men who bear the yoke of the Mosaic law, inhabitants of the land, who are unbelievers, who are in the spirit realm, who've taken possession of the bodies of those from the family line to try to complete or to try to avoid their punishment. Okay, and these are the men who bear the yoke of the Mosaic law. They did not believe. Abraham believed by faith and it was accredited to him as righteousness. And so even before Jesus, Abraham of faith, as long as there was faith, it was accredited to him as righteousness, so that Abraham believed God. So these inhabitants of the land, the unbelievers in the spirit realm, who possess and inhabit the bodies and the lives of those people here, who they've lived together and they've practiced similar customs and traditions within the past, who bear the yoke of the Mosaic law, who didn't believe and didn't want to believe, and are now trying to avoid their punishment by taking possession of or inhabiting the bodies of those people that they are tied to or associated with here. And it says that I will judge them, says the Lord. And the judge there means to separate them, separating the grain, the seed from the chaff, okay? Separating the seed of Abraham, that of faith, from the chaff. Those who are of faith and those who have inhibited the land and are now being driven out. Okay, and to judge means to approve what is correct, i.e. a believer, and reject what is inferior. So put it asunder, pick out and choose all the chosen. So it's to pick out and to choose. That's what to approve means. And judge means condemning, decreeing, inflicting a penalty on one. So on one side, the seed that is being picked out and chosen, which is proved as correct, which is a believer, that seed is, it's picked out and it's chosen. But the seed of the inhabitants of the country that has been rejected and is inferior, and it's the chaff that's condemning, decreeing, and it's the infliction of the penalty is against it. Okay? So because the victorious causes of Christ has rendered the supreme wickedness of Satan evident to all and put an end to his power to dominate and destroy, we see it in John 16:11, of Christians as hereafter to sit with Christ at the judgment, and John 12:47. Okay, so that's where we see that happening. We also see that supreme wickedness of Satan that's evident to all. It's put an end to his power to dominate and to destroy. And then now all Christians who, I will judge them, says the Lord, have been chosen as seeds of faith and have been judged as correct and approved, now sit with Christ at the judgment while the chaff is put asunder and it is condemned and its decree inflicted a penalty upon it as punishment against that other seed that is not the seed of faith. Okay, Luke 19:22, we're going to jump over here because we traveled along here, and it says that we see that judgment happening against the sowing and the reaping. So we'll see it. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. And this is Jesus talking in the Gospel of Luke. And he says, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked. Wicked means to be an evil servant belonging to another. Okay, so a servant that belongs to another, one that didn't believe, a spirit that didn't believe, that's tried to inhabit the land that is now been judged. Okay, that evil servant, under it, it's called slothful, malicious, pain-ridden, and misery. This evil servant is slothful, malicious, pain-ridden, and misery, and it belongs to another, not to the seed of Abraham. It's an evil seed. It's a wicked servant. Okay, it serves evil. I will judge you by your own words. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man. Hard man means to be strict, that is rigid and is strict, and it's a narrow way, okay, that it can't come in. Taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did sow. But those enemies of mine who did not want to be king over them, this is what he says here in Luke 19:27. But those enemies of mine, talking about these evil servant spirits that have inhabited the bodies of the believers, the enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them. So they're past descendants, past spirits, descendants who chose not to believe, and they didn't want him to be king over them, over their lives back then. Bring them here, he said, and kill them in front of me. They're Jesus' words in Luke 19:27. Bring them here and I'll kill and let me kill them and kill them in front of me. So taking up what I did not appoint, that's what reaping means. It's got that, you know, taking out what I did not put in. So you want me to take out, I didn't put that in the person. That seed is not from me. That's not the seed of faith. That's from an evil servant, an evil spirit that's come and tried to take the land. Okay, piggybacking. And how do we know? It's slothful, malicious, pain-ridden, and misery. And because that spirit back then was slothful in its body, it was a slothful spirit, it was malicious, it was pain-ridden and misery, and it didn't want to serve. It didn't want the king to be king over them. It rejected, okay? And then to avoid punishment of that for that spirit to avoid its punishment, it comes in through and tries to inhabit your land, your body, so it can avoid punishment. Okay? And then he said, bring them here and kill them in front of me, slain them. We've slain them. And he says, so taking up what I did not appoint, which is reaping a harvest. And Revelation 14:15 says, remove wicked inhabitants of the earth and deliver them up to destruction. Okay, I've talked about this before, about you being the earth. Deliver these wicked inhabitants of the earth and deliver them up to destruction. Did not sow means to receive seed. He says, so you're taking out what I didn't put in and reaping what I did not sow. You did not receive the seed of Adam. You didn't receive the seed of faith. You didn't receive the word of God. You rejected this word, and therefore it wasn't sown into you. And now you're a departed spirit and you're trying to come in and live in the body of somebody who has received the word. And now you're being judged and you have to go and you will be slain. And that's how you put them to death. Okay. And then it says that we deliver them up to destruction. Okay. All the evil and wicked inhabitants through the idea of extending. So he says that you did not sow. To receive the seed is to receive the seed through the idea of extending. So to receive the seed is to actually want to multiply the seed that you've been given, the word you've been given, the revelation, the Jesus, the Christ in you, the faith in you. Your idea is to extend that kingdom. When you receive the seed, when you receive the seed and you're not driven through the idea of extending the kingdom, extending the seed, you know, that's what the evil servants did. They were slothful, malicious, pain-ridden, and misery. They didn't receive the right seed. The right seed will want you to multiply. The right to receive the real seed of the word will cause you to extend the kingdom, will cause you to multiply. Okay? So he's talking about the inhabitants of these men and women who the spirits of the family members who would not receive the word, who did not want to be, want him to be king over them. Okay, rejected it. And he says there in Luke 9:23, and he says, so why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came, I could have collected it at least? I collected it with interest. So he's talking to the evil servant inside the person at the moment, but he's giving an example here and he's saying, it says, so give to the bank, which is a trapeza, to the table. The word bank there means to the table in Jerusalem on which the consecrated loaves were placed. Okay. And the word deposit means the Ark of the Covenant or the law in which those tables were deposited. So we're depositing the word of God, the table of the Lord, depositing it into the people. And he says, so why didn't you put the money, the Ark of the Covenant, on deposit? Why didn't you put the money into multiplying the Ark of the Covenant, multiplying, putting the table of the Lord into people? Why didn't you put your money there? At least if I had come, I could have collected it with interest. At least when I come, I could have collected it. He's talking about the table, which is the table of the Lord. Now, the table of the Lord there, the it says in there, the bank is talk, the bank is the table of the Lord, and it's the consecrated loaves were placed where those were consecrated to the Lord, producing the food, the bread, the manna, and putting that, feeding that into the people, which is establishing the Father's table inside of them, the Ark of the Covenant. So they carry the new covenant, Jesus Christ, in them. He said, at least if you had done that, then I, when I come to collect, I could have got interest, which means it would have been multiplied. It says, comes from the tapizid word comes from modified, from the modified pezos. And it's the tesaris, which means four. And again, the land word means by foot. So there's two words there. The word trapeza comes from pezos, and it's made up of two words, by four, which is, we know, is the full unit, like the universal complete. We got the whole lot. Dominion of the land by foot, taking it by foot. Okay, and then we look in Deuteronomy 10:8 where it says, Yahweh separated the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant and minister before the Lord and bless the day. So those consecrated priests that Yahweh set, he separates them. And that's why he says back there when we're talking about it in Acts, he says to separate, be separated from those departed spirits. So, and then a ruler will come forth out of you, and then I'll show you what land you're going to take. Okay? And he says to this evil servant, well, I know you've got an evil spirit in you because you haven't deposited the Ark of the Covenant into the hearts or into the lives of these people. So the bread or the seed that these departed spirits ate wasn't consecrated. They didn't have the Ark inside of them either. They either didn't receive the word because it wasn't preached and they didn't receive it, or they didn't receive it because they didn't want him to rule over him, or they didn't go and hunt it out for themselves, because you can search it out for yourself. So we can't blame people. Okay. All right. And then he says, he's saying about the money and depositing it into the bank. So at least you could have put your money into the consecrated, into the Ark of the Covenant, those who were consecrated to deliver the bread. Okay. He says, but you didn't. You were serving tables of demons, which is unbelievers. And the Gentiles in a service of demons prepare food for their worshippers. So the money was going into the preparation of food for demons, for their worshippers to worship the demons, instead of putting it into the table of the Lord, those who are the priests who are preparing the consecrated bread, that they're placing the Ark of the Covenant inside of the people. But instead, why, you evil servant, are you putting money into tables of demons and serving the unbelievers' worship congregation, to all the unbelievers? So that's where the money, and it says, or into the bank table, or into the bank serving this table, the table of the Lord. Now, it also says that the word deposit means to put the Ark of the Covenant in, or the law. Now, he's talking about that Deuteronomy 10:8 is to have a separated tribe of Levi who carry the Ark of the Covenant, and they minister before the Lord, and they bless the day. So they have the law. It says that the law has been deposited into them. So when they bless the day, that's the law. So it brings justice into the earth when a consecrated tribe of Levi minister is blessing the day. And he's saying he can see it, that's how you can see that's happening. And on the other hand, you know, we see the other. So when I come to reap, he says, well, deposit the law, consecrated bread, which will accumulate interest and it will multiply. So the consecrated bread, those who are away, they're consecrated. They shouldn't be messed up in the world. They shouldn't be caught up in the world. They shouldn't be running errands for the world. They shouldn't be doing worldly work. They shouldn't be in the world at all. They should be consecrated completely to the Lord so they can produce the bread that's going to produce the and deposit the law, the Ark of the Covenant, into the people. So the table of the Lord is inside the people. So we have people who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant and they're ministering before the Lord and they're waking up and they're blessing the day, which is commanding the day. Okay? That's what they need to be doing. And they're very small and far, like they're few and far between. And he's saying, so we've got these ones who are doing that, but the rest of them are, they're, all their money's going to unbelievers and Gentiles who are serving tables of demons. And these, and so the consecrated ones are having to forfeit what they're doing to go and do the work to try to get to survive. All right. So then he says, when I come to reap, I might have collected. Okay, so if he had actually, if they had deposited the table of the Lord, the covenant, the law inside of the people, when he came, he would have had something to deliver. The sins of the people, that's what collected means, to come and collect the debts, the sins of the people. But he come and there's no debts to collect, there's no sin to collect because there's no law inside of them. There's no ark inside of the people. Because they're not eating consecrated bread. Okay. So Luke 19:24 says, and to those standing by, he said, take from him the one minor and give it to the one who has 10 minor. So the one means the one is talking about the father. What was given to you from your father only. So that one. So the, and the minor there, and stand by means to be ready and present. It also means those who stood by you. It means those who stood by you. So those who stood by you, he said to those ones, go and take from this one, the minor, and give it to the one who has 10. The one is what the father, their father gave to them. The evil servants. It's pretty much handed down to them. Okay. And the word minor there means, has a double meaning, and it can actually mean to hear. It conveys both levels of meaning, okay? And if that's what it means, and it means to hear. So he can only hear what his father has told him, which is his, the evil servant and the father and whatever inhabitants in his land, that's who he's hearing. And that he's only got that one hearing, one level of meaning, one level of understanding. And he said, well, I'm going to take that from them now and I'm going to go and I'm telling my people, he's saying those who stood by you, I'm telling you to go now and take that and give it to the one who has 10. And 10 means to have double, it's deca, and it means to have like both levels of meaning or both, to hear again, but to hear 10 times better and to have a deeper level of meaning and understanding. Okay, and we also see around there where it's talking about those who stood by, and the consecrated loaves were placed. We'd see there in Acts 23:2-4, it's talking about the high priest. Okay, then Luke 19:26 says, he replied, I tell you that to everyone who has more, to everyone who has, more will be given, but to the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. And the word more there is hearing. So it's saying those who, to everyone who has hearing, more will be given, more understanding, more level of meaning, more level of revelation. But because they're serving it consecrated, they're serving the food. But those who only have the one, which has come down from the forefathers and the departed spirits that they won't separate themselves from, and they won't, well, who has nothing, even that will be taken from them. And it says there by force, what is committed to him. So that person is committed to them, but then it will be taken away by force. Okay. Then we've got the word slothful. So slothful is like to be comfort in the house that the work's already been done for you by your forefathers, inhabited by their father. So slothful is, then you've got the consecrated bread and the cost for that, and tahir, which is to feed many and not paying money to help out there as well. So the comfort in the house, inhabited by their father, so slothful becomes, well, it's already done and they're just inheriting what's already been done from their departed fathers, their forefathers. Okay, Luke 19:27 says, "But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me." The enemies is hostile and enmity and hateful. And it hasn't been willing. Its desire, wish, and intention wasn't wanting what was best. Somebody who has been willing, who willingly wants him to be king over them, they desire, wish, and they intend it. Someone ready and willing to act. It's wanting to desire to birth faith in others, and also empowers and manifests his promise. But an enemy is against that, at enmity with that. It's hateful towards that. Okay. Disposed towards, which means to be birthing faith and manifest presence. So disposed towards. So they're disposed towards that goal. And to have rule over means to have reign over, which is exercise kingly power, to govern and to become a king. And Jesus to join, So Jesus, you see, don't come under the Father's seed. So Jesus comes under, if Jesus is in a consecrated person and they're producing the consecrated bread, because he's taken the throne and he's got kingly power and governing there, and it's the divine law which can bless the day, to bring it under the Father's slothful and non-consecrated seed into a building or under somebody who is functioning on the seed of their father, the word of their father, and not the word of God inside, developing the bread. So then you'll go and eat that father's seed and you die in the wilderness. Okay, so you go under and you come under the seed of the father, the leaders in some churches and that have just inherited just a legacy, really, rather than being called and chosen out. And we'll look at that, we're going to get into that too. They just kind of assume the position because of their family. And also, if the inhabitant of the land has departed and it hasn't finished its mission, it inhabits this the family. And of course, once it inhabits, it begins to try to carry out its mission again. But it's already under it's and it, but nothing's changed. It doesn't come under the Mosaic. It's still under the Mosaic law. It's not coming under the seed of faith because it wasn't called. Okay. So then you go under there, you eat their bread, their revelation, their manna, and you're not getting fresh manna from inside of you, which is faith persuaded. And so you're not birthing faith and you're not being persuaded by fresh revelation bread inside of you. You're eating unconsecrated words from fathers who are carrying departed inhabitants, generation for generation, wrong seed line, and you're dying. They're dying in the wilderness because they're not getting the inbirthing of the faith, so they can produce their own revelation and bread and stay alive and be sustained, and be saved and continue to birth the faith, and to continue to produce priests who are developing consecrated bread, who are blessing the day. Who have the authority because they've got the divine law to bless the day and bring the healing and deliverance for the nations. He says, "Bring them here, slay them before me." Slay means to slaughter them and to kill them off. Bring them down from a higher place to a lower place. And so you slaughter them against the Christ, which is here. So he said, bring them to me, bring them here, which is to bring them to the Christ. And they get slaughtered. And then after that, he said he went up to Jerusalem. And the word Jerusalem there means to be united with Israel and Judah. So once all that's taken place, then you ascend into to be united. Acts 7:8 says, and then he gave Abraham the covenant of the circumcision. And Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcising 8 days after his birth. And later Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs. The word covenant is a testament. It's actually a will. And the word is tithe me. Tithe me. Okay, so the covenant is a will. Jesus died, he left us a will. He left us a covenant. He died, we get the will. When someone dies, they leave you in their will. We get an inheritance, the covenant. Okay, it's a set agreement, it's complete terms, fully affirmed by the one entering the agreement. It's a set of outlines. And the word circumcision is peritome. It's actually a physical sign or a promise sign of procreation. And it's a male organ, but it's the seed of the Messiah, which is the Christ, the one prophesied to incarnate through the physical line of David, through, and it's an act. It's an act that takes place, okay? The circumcision is an act that takes place. It's actually a physical sign to see the procreation and the seed of the Messiah, the Christ, be procreated and incarnated in physical form through the seed line of Abraham, the people of God. Literally. Okay? It's separated from the unclean multitude. That's what the circumcision does. It separates you from the unclean multitude, Philippians 3:3 and Colossians 2:11, and truly consecrated to God. The extinction of the passions and the removal of spiritual impurity. And then it brings forth Isaac, which is a descendant of faith, okay? Because he belongs to Abraham, the father of faith, not just his father. Okay, not this father, the natural father, but the father of faith, okay? On the eighth day with seven other companions, it says there. Well, that's in Revelation 21:20, where the eighth one is Beryl. But Revelation 17:11, the beast who once was, once now not, and is on the eight, and is an eighth king. He belongs to the seven and is going to his destruction. That's what Revelation 17:11 says. So it says there on the eighth day, the eighth one comes with seven others. Okay, and it belongs to the seven. The eighth king belongs to the seven, and they're going to their destruction. All right, Acts 7:8. It says to be like him, made like them. So he says that the eighth king has been made to be made like the other seven companions who are going to their destruction. Matthew 12:47 says, and takes along with it seven other spirits. Okay, so we see that that word seven other spirits or seven other companions taken along with them. So the eighth one is, so seven spirits, and the eighth one is seven spirits of the inhabitants, and the eighth one is the one destined for king, to be the king by faith, picked and chosen. But the seven spirits are making the eighth one like themselves. Jesus came to make the eighth king like himself. So he takes the throne and enthrones himself in that and drives out those inhabitants of the land. And then the transformation begins to happen, as we'll talk about later, to transform the eighth king into the likeness of the king, rather than have the eighth king in the likeness of the seven of those departed spirits that are inhabited, that have inhabited the king, called to be a king. Amen. All right. So off to their destruction means to be ruin, loss, and perishing, and it's eternal ruin, annihilate, completely cut off and wasted. That's what destruction. So those seven departed spirits were trying to take the eighth king, the eighth person, the person who's got seven inhabited spirits in them, It's trying to take that person with them into destruction, ruin, loss, and perishing. Now that those seven were trying to avoid the punishment and that destruction. They were trying to avoid going through that ruin and being completely cut off to eternal ruin. So that's why they've inhabited the land of the eighth person, the other person. All right, but without consecrated bread, how would you be able to judge properly and have them judged? So, of course, if the bread is not consecrated, and if they can inhabit a person and just recreate themselves and that type of whatever their lives were, it looks to most people normal, but it's not delivering results. The harvest isn't coming in because there's no sin to take away. He says, when I come to collect, there's no debts for me to take. Why? Because nobody's repented. So there's nothing to, nothing needs forgiveness. They haven't asked for forgiveness because they don't know. Okay? Because of that deception. All right. So then he says that the 12 apostles. Yep. And then so coming forth is Isaac, who becomes the father of Jacob, and Jacob becomes the father of the 12 patriarchs, and the 12 means the 12 apostles, or called by way of, which is a, who can hear, like called by way of, again, it's a literal and figurative, it's a double entity, which means they can hear, called by way of hearing, okay, and it's an, it says called by way of eminence. Eminence is a position of superiority, high ranking, status, fame, and being. It's a state of a high of the high place. A patriarch is the founder of a family or the head of a family. It's the founder of a tribe. And it comes from the word patria and arco. Arco is the chief leader or the first political rank and power. And we see it in Romans 15:12. He who arises rules over the Gentiles. Okay, so that's what we see there. And then 7:9, because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him into Egypt, but God was with him. A patriarch is a descendant of Jacob, Abraham of faith, and called by way to in-birth faith, the Christ-manifested seed, the consecrated seed. And he says, well, they were jealous, which is to be envied, eager to possess and to move with hatred and envy and anger. They were eager to possess what he had. And he was sold, which means given back, especially as a payment. Given back to give away from one's own profit, to sell what is one's own. To give away from one's own profit and to sell what's one's own. Egypt, we see in Revelation 11:8, for the Jewish nation viewed as persecuting Christ and his followers, and so to be likened like the Egyptians in their ancient hostility to the true God and their endeavors to crush his people. Okay, in Matthew, we see the word departed, flee out of Egypt, and it's where my prophet is called, out of Egypt. Okay, and then he says that, so Joseph was sold back into Egypt because of the jealousy of the patriarchs, the jealousy, the envy, they were eager to possess, but God was with him. And then we see in the word Acts, in the book of Acts, the patriarch sold Joseph, the prophet, back to Egypt. Acts 7:10 says that he was appointed as governor and ruler over Egypt and given grain, which is the seed, to send forth. And it says God was with him, so God rescued to take him out and fully remove him. God rescued him out, fully removed him out of Egypt from all of his troubles, and he gave Joseph wisdom, and he enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So Pharaoh made him ruler over Egypt and all of his palace. And then out of the tribulations he was saved, which is persecution, distress, and affliction and distress. Internal pressure, especially when there's no way of escape. He says, like, the distress is like a woman in childbirth. But he says that God gave him favor, charis, and wisdom. Favor is grace, kindness, and it's from the word zaris, and it actually means to be rendered as thanks. It's an and it says that it's an extension of himself. To have favor with is one who attends and assists one. So it's thanks for service. It's a thank you, and then you have favor with. Okay. Wisdom is insight, skill, whether it be human or divine. It's intelligence and it's clarity. It's the art of using wisdom. It's the act of interpreting dreams and giving sages advice. It's before, in the presence of Pharaoh, to be appointed, to make them stand, to give them standing authority, to give them status, which enables someone to rule, extensive, decisive force, and to appoint one to administer an office, or to make one set down an ordained office. An office that conducts worship to God. Okay? Worship to God is to give the Ark of the Covenant, the divine rule inside of them. That's worship, a living being. Okay, to make them a ruler and to lead, going before as Christ, the chief. And it's an official who leads others with heavy influence. The word ruler is hegemony or hegemon, and it means to govern, command, and procure. And over all the house of him, his descendants. So it says the inmates of a house, all the persons forming one family, a household, succession. Right, Acts 7:11 says, then a famine struck all of Egypt and Canaan, bringing great suffering, and our ancestors could not find food. So the famine there is, there's a hunger, a scarcity of harvest, it means. So there's a scarcity of hunger, a scarcity of harvest, meaning there's no food and the people are hungry. Famine comes from the word lapo. Lapo means to be left behind, wanting in, falling short and lacking. Okay. Canaan means to be the west. So the famine, the lack of harvest, the scarcity of harvest, of harvesting is from the west. And, yeah, okay, and from Egypt. Because it's saying the scarcity is from there. All right, and then there was great affliction, which is persecution, no way of escape, distress and oppression. They were not finding sustenance from the fathers of us, is what it says. There was disaster, especially after searching and learning and understanding. To discover, especially after searching, learning. So they're saying there was no finding of sustenance. So the reason that there's no harvest, the reason there's no food to eat, there's nothing that's no sustaining food, is because there's a scarcity, there's a famine. And that's because they're not being fed the consecrated bread. Therefore, there's no harvest. And because there's no harvest, there's no bread, there's a famine. Okay? And he's saying that there's a big one, there's a big lacking in the West. A scarcity. A famine. And then it says that the word, kotasma, is sustenance. And sustenance is food and provision. And it means that after discovering, and especially after searching out and learning and understanding it, you find the food and the provision. Chotazo is not feeling satisfied, not fattened. Okay? There's no food in abundance. And so it sent the father in to buy the grain, and they all ate and they died. So that's just talking about, so after Joseph was put in charge of, there was a famine in the land. He was put in charge, and he was producing food. And the brother heard that there was food in Egypt, so he sent his father in to get the food, to buy grain, because they were all starving. And they all ate and they died, it says. 7:15, bodies were brought back to the prince of Shechem, because that's who owned the bodies. That's who owned them, who possessed them. And in 7:17, it says, the time drew near for God. It says that the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham. This is in Acts 7:17. And the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. Means that they multiplied to maximum capacity. They had maximum potential and they were made full. And they were increased. So Acts 7:18 says, and then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing to, came into power. So Acts 7:18 says, and then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came into power. 7:19 Acts, this new king dealt treacherously with our people, and he oppressed our ancestors by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. Treacherously means to take advantage of or to craftily take advantage of. And it means to forcing them to throw out their newborn children means to abandon and leave them exposed to the elements to perish as an infant. And an infant is a child in arms, a babe. So the new power, the new king came into power, didn't value Joseph, and therefore forced the new babies to be exposed to the elements and to perish. Acts 7:20 says, at that time Moses was born. Okay, so straight after all that happens, that newborn babies were out and exposed to the elements, straight away Moses was born, and he was placed outside, and he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. Moses was educated in all wisdom of the Egyptians. He was powerful in speech and action. At 40, Moses went to his own people, and he hoped that they would recognize that God was using him to rescue them, but they didn't. Acts 8:4, it says that Saul was destroying the church, the house churches. He drew them to himself, or drew them off to prison for punishment. The word there means to betray or hand them over, and abandoned to condemnation. Abandon them to condemnation. Saul betrayed, because of his betrayal and handing people over and abandoning them to condemnation, he was destroying the church, the house churches, because he was drawing them away. Okay, Saul is not Paul. Saul is without the hearing and the calling of being chosen out by Jesus and actually picked by Jesus. Okay, and then they still... And he says, but even though that even though they had been scattered, distributed to foreign lands, they still preached Jesus, the word, and which is the divine utterance because he was in them. Okay, so even though Saul was destroying the house churches where these babies were growing up, where the infants were, Saul was trying to draw them away from there to bring them into his prison for punishment, which is the, you know, and betray, hand them over to condemnation into bigger buildings. So to father them in that way is, and even though that they had been scattered, because of this, Jesus was still in them and they were still divinely uttering the word because he was in them. Okay? 1 John 3:9 says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. Begotten means to be fathered by faith. Okay? Practice sin means to make or do or construct, but they can't sin because they're born of God. And it says, because the seed of God abides and it can't make a mistake. The seed of God, the consecrated seed of God, it can't make a mistake. 2 Timothy 2:8 says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Okay, remember means to call it to mind and to hold in remembrance. Recall by memory. Hold it in your memory and keep it in your mind. Remember Jesus Christ. Keep it in your mind. Raised from the dead. He raised Jesus. Jesus Christ was raised amongst all of those dead people, sleeping people, raised among all those sleeping people. And he says, don't forget, keep your mind on Jesus Christ, descended from David. This is my gospel. This is my gospel means to be a human transmitter, an apostle. Okay? A human transmitter of the message of the gospel, who's an apostle, who has been raised from the dead, raised from all of these sleeping people. Having been raised, which means to be woken up, to be aware. Out of the dead means to be lifeless. What lacks life is inactive and it's inoperative. So that's what it means to be dead. So been raised and woken up out of that sleeping state to be a human transmitter of the gospel, which is an apostle. Revelation 4:6 says this, so also in front of the throne was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal in the center. Around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and back. Also in front, it literally means to be in the eye of God, which is keeping with his plan built on his absolute knowledge. In the eye of God, literally. That's what means to be in front. And on the throne means to be in the presence. Oh no, also in front means to be in the presence. So to be in the presence literally means to be in the eye of God. Okay, and of the governor of the world, which is the throne. So in the presence or in the eye literally of God, of the governor of the world, the kingly power. And the word sea there means apocalypse, which is a glassy sea. It's used, a glassy sea is among visions of the apocalypse. So they use it as to describe visions of the apocalypse, the sea. And the word is thalassa, and it's the sea of glass. So the glass is, it actually means it's a valued virtue, and it means to be transparent. And it's the Lord's glory shining through, reflecting himself as manifested, reflected by his saints. So by God's light, there's sanctification and glorification. And it has a spiritual transparency that reflects the image of Jesus himself. And we have the privilege of reflecting it, and he gets the glory. So we get to reflect his glory, but he gets the glory. And so that's the sea of glass. And to be in front, yep, okay. So it's revealing of the glory. It's the revealing of the glory. To be in the eye of God, literally, and in the presence of his governing kingly power, where the glory is revealed, which reflects back to us him. Now, the word crystal there means to be secret and hidden. Crystal also means to be a rock. And crystal also means, so I'm going to look over at Matthew 6:18 where it says, so that you might not appear to men as fasting, but to your Father who sees in secret, he will reward you. And it says there about the one seeing, so your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The one seeing means to be transparent again, and it's an observant, watchful. It takes what is seen in the natural into the non-physical so the person can take the needed action. So, yeah, it would take what's seen in the natural realm. So what we can see happening in the natural realm, we take that into the non-physical so the person can take the needed action, take it into the spirit. And so the one thing is one who keeps guard. Secret means to be hidden, and secret things you do. It also talks about the inward nature. That's secret as well. Your inward nature, which is your character. It's hidden and it's concealed. So the inner part of man, the soul, your secret thoughts, your feelings, your desires. Revelation 4:6. So I say God knows the heart. And your I love that about the inward nature and that inward nature character being hidden, because what they see out in the physical isn't always, you don't always understand what's going on in the secret place and what they're seeing in the natural and taking it into the non-physical, taking it into the secret place so we can get action taken on what we're seeing in the physical. So there's a lot of work happening from those consecrated saints. Okay. All right. So the rock is the crystal. Crystal is a rock. We all know that, the rock of the ages. And now it says it's in the midst and the middle of the throne, which is his power and dominion. So now this, now we're in the middle of the power and dominion. And he says that there's a ring or a circle around the air sides. And there's four living creatures. Four means to have total coverage. So he's got total coverage, his power and dominion. There's a circle around it, all around, all the air, everything, total coverage of the living creatures and of all living beings, which is creatures, being full of eyes. And it means to be fully occupied for an end purpose, for an end time purpose. Okay. And then we've got, it says there, so in front, okay, so he's got, so in front of the throne and behind the throne. No, in front of the throne, yeah. He says that the four living creatures are in front and behind, yeah. Okay. So in front means to be of a higher rank, that they've gone before, they've preceded. They've preceded. And the thing which who is advancing. And in that, or in, also it says in front, in that local region or in the presence of, okay? So a higher rank, gone before and preceded, in that local region and in the presence of. To be behind means to be on the back, after, or to come behind. So on the back of what's been done or in front is a higher rank, gone before, preceded, in a local region. And then I've got Revelation 4:7, and it's got, I'll bring it up. Okay, and then it's got Revelation 4:7. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. And the fourth was a flying eagle. So the first, which is revealed in the first year, is the lion. The lion nature, which is brave, and it's been rescued from peril and death. It's brave, it's first, it's the most important, and it comes first. It comes first. Second is the calf. It's the second year. The second year is the calf, where it's opposed to the former. It's of a higher rank, and it's a young shoot or a heifer. It's opposed to the first. Then you've got third, which is the third year, the third time around, and it raised from the dead. And it's the face of the person. It's the face in the presence, but not in the heart. It's the face of a man, which is the face of the human race in the presence, but not in the heart. And then you've got the fourth man, which is the fourth face, or the fourth creature, sorry, is the fourth year, where we see total. It's a total, what did we say it was? Total coverage. It's taken total coverage, and it's the bird of prey, the eagle. And it's like wind, like flight nature. And it says in Luke 17:37, it says, where the dead are, you'll find the eagles and the vultures. They'll be gathered there around the dead. And the nature of God is manifesting through in the first you of the believer is the lion, and the second the calf. The second is the man nature, where it's only the face, or the four types of natures even. And then the fourth is the eagle. Okay, well that's it, and it's a bit longer today. I hope you liked it, and I hope it fed you, and I hope you digest all of that. And let's enjoy the Isaacs being coming forth, and the eighth kings coming forth, and the apostles coming forth. And I'm definitely looking forward to some delicious consecrated bread for us to feast on. In Jesus' name, God bless you, God keep you. Amen.